This is the moment we awake. Fire, aim steady. This is the moment now. Those are God-given moments. I was watching the news this week, and don't know if you caught it, but there was a story focusing on kind of new trends in photography. And they call it extreme engagement and wedding photos. And this couple was getting their picture taken, hanging off a 350-foot cliff. And I'm thinking that redefines leap of faith. But it's really not surprising that that's become a trend, because posting amazing photographs, it's kind of the cool thing to do now. So people are really willing to risk their lives to get extreme selfies these days. People are hanging off of cliffs. They're climbing to the top of skyscrapers, bridges, all kinds of things to get that photo op. I mean, it's a big thing. An ordinary pic just won't do anymore. Have you ever had a moment when you saw something or something happened and you wish you had got a picture of it? You know, but you missed it, but you wish you had that picture. That moment, it got by. The setting maybe changed, or it was a very brief, kind of fleeting moment. You really didn't have time to respond, or the phone was dead, or whatever. But when you're able to catch that pic, the right situation, the right person at the right moment, whatever, it's kind of a great thing, isn't it? It's a great op to have. Well, today I want to talk about God's op. And it is even more profound than that. In fact, I believe our God is a God of opportunity, and that he has given all of us here today great opportunities in our lives. Opportunities that we do not want to miss. And so that's kind of the focus today. How do we take advantage of those special opportunities in our lives? You know, it sounds easy. You see an opportunity, and you think, there's potential. There's a chance for me to do this. Here's this opportunity, and I just have to go for it. But the fact is, it is much more complex than that, isn't it? I mean, when we're given an opportunity, I believe we've got to be ready for the opportunity. You know, last week we started our series, and we're looking at a guy named Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a leader, and he was given an opportunity by God, a God opportunity. And I believe we can learn a lot by just kind of looking over his shoulder. We can learn a lot about leadership, about seizing the moment in our lives. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus on today, figuring out how to seize that moment. And the fact is, everybody here is a leader. I don't care if you're 13 years old or 83, you're a leader. You've been given a sphere of influence in your life, and God's given you opportunities there. And I want you to think about the opportunities that are before you today. Many of those opportunities that come that really just scream, I think, come out of moments of deep dissatisfaction, pain, hurt, brokenness. We talked about last week those Popeye moments where you look at something, whether it be at work or in your marriage or in your spiritual life, and you go, that's all I can stands, and I can stands no more. And so that genuine dissatisfaction, I mean, if it's real, that genuine passion in you, it moves you to action. It cannot be contained. It requires movement. And this is the moment now. So how do we seize those moments? When God gives you an opportunity, a God op, so to speak, it requires action on our part. Now, whatever you're going through right now in your life, whatever you're doing, whatever you're facing right now, I want to suggest to you, God is preparing what God's prepared for you. He's preparing you for what God's prepared for you. It's a special op, and it was created just for you. Preparation. God's preparing you. Preparation is vital in our lives. I heard someone say that you kind of redefine the word preparation, and it'd be pre-prayer-ation. Nehemiah, we know, was a man of prayer. If you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to go online, get caught up, listen to the message. But Nehemiah was the head of security. He's the head of security for the most powerful king in the 5th century B.C. Artaxerxes was the king of Persia. Persia's this enormous empire. Nehemiah, his official title, he's cupbearer. He's cupbearer to the king. It was a political position. Basically, he protected the king. It was a very lucrative job. It is a powerful position. And one day, Nehemiah receives news about his homeland, in Israel. He finds out that the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, it's been decimated. People are living in fear. Nehemiah gets this news. And scripture says, Nehemiah says this, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." It is a defining moment in Nehemiah's life. God calls him into action as he prays about it and thinks about what's going on in Jerusalem. He realizes God's calling him to rebuild Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, I imagine Nehemiah was a little bit like us. I imagine when he first heard the news and God started calling him, I could picture him just saying, "Wait a minute, God. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible what took place and what's going on in Jerusalem. But God, I'm a cupbearer. I'm not a contractor." But in that moment, God spoke to his heart. See, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed before the God of heaven. Pre-prayer-ation. God was preparing Nehemiah, and it's in that prayer that he fires. His aim gets really steady, and it's in that moment, that call of duty, that God calls him. And God says, "Nehemiah, this is my vision for your life," and kind of puts it on his heart. I mean, Nehemiah's heart breaks in that moment. God begins to cast vision into his life. And what I want to do this morning is kind of unpack that moment. You know, last week we looked at the story and it took kind of a wide angle lens kind of a view of the story. What I want to do today is kind of backtrack a little bit. And I want to zoom in. I want to look at the story in a lot more detail. And what we'll do along the way is lift some leadership principles, because Nehemiah has a lot to teach about leadership. And so we're going to kind of do that at the same time as we're walking through this. We know from the story, if you're reading the scriptures, the first two chapters, each of the chapters start giving us a date. And so we know it was 4 months from the time that he hears news about Jerusalem until he takes his first real step, you know, that you can see. He understood God's call. Nehemiah's heart's on fire. He answered that call in a moment. As he prayed, he realized what God was calling him to do. But friends, it was a process. In fact, during those 4 months, his aim would get really steady. He was preparing. God was preparing him. God was preparing him for another moment that was going to come. A moment to share the vision before the king. No, he was waiting to tell Artaxerxes about what God had put on his heart. See, it was another God op in his life. He was preparing for that. We talked last week about the royal protocol, so to speak, that you could never be sad around the king. You could never be in a bad mood around the king. In fact, a servant that did either of those things, they could get dismissed immediately. They could be imprisoned. Most likely would lose their job for sure. And if you made a request of the king that the king didn't like, well, you could lose your head over that. So the stakes are really high. In fact, I'll be honest, it's hard to kind of imagine the tension and the pressure that must have existed. But Nehemiah knows that he's got to cast vision before the king. And he's waiting for the right opportunity. Have you ever had to pitch something or sell something, so to speak, to another individual, and you knew they weren't going to like it? I mean, maybe at work, maybe in a relationship, maybe at home. It's a little unnerving, isn't it? You kind of get geared up inside. You worry about how it's going to all unfold. That's the situation Nehemiah's in. If you read the book, you find that Nehemiah, that prayer, it's core to him. He does everything. Prayer is just in the midst of all of it. In fact, in the book of Nehemiah, you find 9 of his prayers are actually listed, what he prayed and how he prayed. Nehemiah was praying when he first heard God's call to this. He prayed about the opportunity that was before him, that God would give him that opportunity to share the vision with the king. He had thought about the moment. He had mulled it over. He had prayed. He was afraid, but he was ready. He was ready for that moment. So when the king asked him, "Why are you sad?" Nehemiah shared what was on his heart. He talked about the destruction in Jerusalem and how it had undone him. And we're going to pick the conversation up again. It says, "The king said to me, 'What is it you want?'" It was the opportunity he'd been praying about. It's what he had hoped for. The door had been open. The king says, "What is it you want?" Notice what he does then. "Then I" what? "Prayed." He prayed to the God of heaven. He didn't pray, "Hey, what am I supposed to say?" He knew the gist of what he was supposed to say, but it was kind of that microwave prayer, I call them, when you just go, "God, help me. God, give me the words. The king's opened the door finally. I've got to share the vision. This is the moment now, God." It's kind of crunch time for him. Nehemiah has been praying about the moment. He's been thinking about the moment. 4 long months, he's been praying and preparing and waiting. And here's the leadership principle you ought to get. When God puts something on your heart, when God calls you, when you hear that call, when you accept that call in your life, and you finally say, "You know what, God, I'm all in. Whatever it is you want, I'm here, I'm ready." Oftentimes, after you take that step, there's a long wait in life. I mean, why is that? Well, I think it's because prayer and waiting go together. The strongest position for a leader, the strongest position you can take in your life for your family or work or whatever, is to pray and be on your knees about it. But it's tough waiting, isn't it? Anybody like to wait? We don't like waiting. We want things now. So when God has us waiting, and that's what's going on for Nehemiah, God is building us. God is maturing us. God is preparing us for what God has prepared for us in life. God's timing, God's plan, God's way. Nehemiah, he waits 4 long months. One day, the opportunity presents itself. Nehemiah's ready. Why? Because he prayed about it. And as he prayed about it, he had a very clear vision of what God wanted him to do. He is ready for that moment. God had prepared him for that moment. That's how God opportunities are. That's how those God ops are. I was thinking in my life how many times I've had those moments. I was thinking about back in 1980 or around 1980, I started praying for Faith Fellowship. I just didn't know it was Faith Fellowship that I was praying for. I mean, I'd heard God's call. I'd accepted that call of duty. I was all in. It ignited my heart. God began to give me vision for what he wanted to do in and through me. And I thought about a church that was contemporary, compelling, as we talk about around here. A church that's geared toward people that aren't sure about God or kind of given up on God. And for years I prayed, and God prepared and worked in me. When I came out of college, I thought, I'm ready. God's plan, God's timing, God's way. I was a little bit slower than Nehemiah. 25 years later. I'll be honest with you. At that point, I wasn't sure it was ever going to happen. I kind of thought, you know what, maybe I missed my opportunity. And then God started putting the pieces together. And I say that to say, it's how God works. His time, his plan, his way. That's how God always works. And there's something else I noticed as I looked at the story about Nehemiah. Not only did he pray about the moment, pray about what the future was, but he began planning for that. Why did he plan? Why should we plan? Well, because God's a planner. You know, Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians, Paul talks a lot about, he says, our God's a God of planning, not of disorder. You know, verse 40 in Corinthians, he says, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. In other words, learning to allow God to help you plan is vital. I was at a leadership conference back in February. One of the challenges in one of the workshops I was in was that leaders should make time to think. And that's a leadership principle. When you make time for think time, your think time will make time in your life. It's part of preparing. God-given design is what we're to be about. And I wonder, do you ever take time just to draw away from everything? Make time to think, to dream, to plan, to strategize? I mean, we should do that. Why? Well, God's a planner. God suggests it. It prepares us to seize the moments, those opportunities in our life. And it's the best use of our time because it allows us to use our time in a wise and orderly manner. Now, it's worth doing. And the fact is, if something's worth doing in your life, it's worth planning. And a little heads up, it's hard work. It's hard work. When you plan, it prepares you for those incredible opportunities that God puts in your path. Nehemiah, he prays and he plans. He's preparing for the opportunity. He's ready to seize the moment. The king says, what is it you want? Notice Nehemiah didn't say, hey, I'll get back to you on that. I'll email you in a couple days. Hey, could we have lunch in a couple weeks and I'll kind of lay it out for you. No, it says, and I answered the king. If it pleased the king, if your servants found favor in his sight, here's the ask. Let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. If you read the story, we know that he had planned. I mean, the evidence is in Scripture. In fact, I'm going to hit the high points. I'd encourage you to read chapter 2 this week. But Nehemiah tells the king that he wants to rebuild the walls of the city. And the king asks him, he says, well, how long is that going to take? And scripture says that Nehemiah set a time frame before him. He laid it out, scripture says. Put it out before the king. I assume he goes, oh, well, I just happen to have plans right here, you know. He was ready to give an answer to the king. Every vision, every goal in life needs a battle plan. Whether it be for your vocationally, for your family, for your marriage, you got to have a battle plan. And you need to have deadlines with things. If you don't, you end up missing a lot in life. Nehemiah, he makes several more requests. He requests some letters. He wants letters for the governors in all the Trans-Euphrates area. He says, I need letters for all these provinces. See, Nehemiah thought through it. He thought through the process. He knew that when he traveled, that when he would go from Persia to Jerusalem, that he's going to need some passports, some visas, some letters. He knew that he was going to need lumber and supplies. And so he prepared and he planned and he had thought it out. Sometimes I hear people, Christians, they'll go, well, I just live by faith. I don't have to plan. I just live by faith. And faith's great. We need faith in our life. But God has given us an intellect, has given us a mind, and we're to prepare also. We're to do the hard work of preparing. What if Nehemiah had said, you know, I'm just going to go by faith, hadn't thought about it, I'm just going to see what happens? Well, he would have got outside Jerusalem, would have got to the royal forest. Asaph was the kind of coordinated everything. He was the foreman in charge of all the supplies. In picture, Nehemiah shows up and goes, hey, I'm heading to Jerusalem. I need about $4 million worth of timber. So if you could just load it up, I'm going to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. I'm going to guess Asaph would have said, are you crazy? That's not happening. But Nehemiah gets there. He's already got his purchase orders. He says, yeah, you need to load this up. The king said, I can have all this stuff. Imagine if he hadn't planned, he starts on his travels. He gets to the first province. Border patrol's there. Where's your passport at? Don't have one. You're going to need a passport. You're going to need a visa. You're going to need some kind of documentation or you're not coming through here. He would have had to return back to Persia, make a request. See, as I read this story, you begin to understand Nehemiah thought it out. He already had what he needed. He'd already made the request. He's prepared for the moment. See, faith is not a synonym for disorder in life. We are to live by faith, but we're to plan it out. We're to think it out. We're to study. We're to work hard. We're to do our homework, so to speak, and be prepared so that we're ready to go when the opportunities come. Nehemiah is prepared for the moment. He's prayed. He's planned. King says, what do you want? He's ready. And when you read the story, because he's ready, God opens the floodgates for him. The king gives him the time off. He gives him all the lumber, all the supplies that he needs. He gives him the passports, gives him the visas, gives him the letters. He even goes further. The king goes, you know what? I'm going to send a security detail to escort you from here to Jerusalem. Friends, planning in your life prepares you for opportunities so that we're ready. See, when you plan whatever it is, you get steady. Your aim gets very steady. You're ready for the moments. Now, that's how life works. Another reason that we plan, I think, is that as we're planning, it helps us grow in our lives. It helps us develop. It's a process. And those God opportunities are amazing opportunities in life. Nehemiah says, "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request." I want you to picture everything that led up to the moment. I want you to picture Nehemiah as he's writing and he sees Jerusalem for the first time. He's riding in on a camel, probably. I'm thinking it was quite a moment for him. I mean, months prior, it had been a dream. And now here he is. He's actually riding. He can see the city. I imagine he's having a conversation with God. You know, I remember hearing about what had happened in Jerusalem. I thought somebody needed to do something. But you called me, God. I heard that call of duty. It seemed impossible at the time. But now, look, I'm riding into the city. I got the king's escort. I've got the cash. I've got the resources. I'm going to rebuild the city, a city that most people said would never get rebuilt. What an awesome God you are. Amazing God. Nehemiah arrives in the city. What did he do? Now, did he go out and announce, "Hey, I'm here to rebuild the city"? No. I'm sure as he was riding into the city, people are thinking, "Why is he here? Who is he? What's he doing here?" But he didn't say a word. In fact, we know that he took several days to rest. I assume it was a pretty rigorous journey. He took a few days off, rested, and then it says he took a few of the elite soldiers with him. It says, "I sat out at night during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no mount with me except the one I was riding on." See, I get the sense Nehemiah is still doing his homework here. He's investigating. He's still strategizing. He's still probably thinking about who's going to lead, who's going to do what, who's going to be in charge of what, how big's the wall going to be, how tall, how wide. You know, this is the lonely side of leadership as you go through all of those steps. Scripture says that Nehemiah that night, that he went out and he investigated. He investigated, we're told, the Valley Gate and Jackal's Well and Dung Gate and the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool. And those words probably you go, "Oh, what's that mean?" It meant he went all the way around Jerusalem, around where the wall had been. He's investigating. He's circling the city. He's examining things. See, I think Nehemiah wanted to know what he was up against. He's trying to figure it out. And here's another principle for you. Leaders keep it low till they're ready to go. See, he's protecting the vision that God had given him. He's protecting it from premature death. It is much easier to kill an idea than to kill a launch. I mean, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you want to grow spiritually in your life? How many of you want to develop better relationships, whether it be with your children or your spouse or your parents or someone that you're dating, whatever? How many of you want to reach your maximum potential at work, at school? How many of you want to get in shape or lose a few pounds? Have you thought it through? Have you made plans? Have you set deadlines for yourself? Have you looked at the possible problems along the way? Have you developed it enough that you could give it away, go public, so to speak? Nehemiah would tell you, you pray it over, you think it over, you work out, you plan, you do everything behind the scenes, and then you give it away. You go viral, so to speak. Leadership principle, where you transfer the vision from me to we. You let other people in on it. Hey, I'm going to grow spiritually, and here's what I've got planned. Nehemiah went from God's idea, God's vision, into the heart of Nehemiah. Nehemiah responds to the call of duty. He prays it over. He thought it through. He's planning, and then he goes public with it. Scripture says this, "Then I said to them," you see, he's talking to the people of Jerusalem, "you see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire." See, he's telling them, take a good look at what things are here. He says, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Call of duty. He's given them an opportunity. The mission seemed impossible to him. He now understood it was very possible because it was a God opportunity. It was a God op in his life. He says, "I also told them about the gracious hand of God on me and what the king had said to me." Nehemiah, he doesn't focus on the difficulties. He knows there's going to be difficulties rebuilding. He doesn't focus on what could go wrong. He knew the things that could go wrong. But he focused on the success. He was aware of the difficulties. He understood that. But he had thought it through. He was prepared. And so he prays it over. He thinks it over. He plans. And he gives it away. And he gives the people an opportunity for that God up. And he says, they replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. Let's start rebuilding. This is the moment. It's the moment when people awake. You know, fire, aim, steady. This is the moment now. Nehemiah puts it before them, and they say, let's do it. See, there is a major difference between leadership and leader slip. I know lots of people that get all fired up in their life about something. You know, they go to a conference and they come back, they're fired up. You know, they read a book or they listen to a message and they get all fired up. Some even go as far as to actually start planning. You know, they get some goals. They have mission statements for their family, mission statements for their work, whatever. And so they're going to start this company or they're going to do this or that in their life. They're going to build this relationship. They're going to work on this in their family. I'm going to get involved in ministry or start a new ministry. And it sounds really good when you listen to them, but it's leader slip. See, when you look at the outcome, you go, where's the results? Where's the action? Where's the change in their life? And the difference between leadership and leader slip, the boat never leaves the slip. They never leave the dock. Oh, they bang around in there. Day after day, make a lot of noise about whatever it is that they're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to be different. But leader slip goes absolutely nowhere. Conversely, people that have leadership that go to those conferences or read that book or get jazzed up about something, they begin to sharpen their skills. They start rubbing shoulders with visionary people, people that will help encourage them in what they're doing. They fire up the engines and they leave the slip. And they get out on the water, open water, and they start trying to do what it is that God's called them to do. Oh, yeah, they hit waves. They hit bad weather once in a while. They make adjustments in their life. But they make those adjustments and they embrace the moment because they're on a mission. They're on a mission. Not 100 missions, a mission in their life. And that's another leadership principle that I believe probably one of the things most people in the world need to come to grips with. And that is learn to say no. If you're going to do something significant with your life, you have to regularly say no to be the kind of leader that God wants you to be in your life. Nehemiah had focus. Nehemiah could have got involved in a lot of things, a lot of agendas, a lot of action groups, a lot of adventures. He probably had all kinds of opportunities. In fact, he probably had some good opportunities. But he said no so he could do the great thing in his life. God's put it on my heart to rebuild Jerusalem. That's the thing I'm going to do. Successful people in God's economy are focused. They do not try and do 101 different things. There is a misunderstanding in this world. Many people believe that Satan wants to get you involved in evil things. And that is true. But friends, if he can't get you involved in evil things, he is quite happy to get you involved in lots of good things. Because he knows if he can get you involved in lots of good things, you'll never do the great things in life. Oh, get involved in this? How about that? Oh, you could do that too. And we get doing so many things, so many good things, that we miss the main thing that God wants us to do. I'm just curious, are you saying no regularly? I found out very early in life that that is a very tough thing to do. It is not easy. I mean, are you saying no to the right things in life? Because I know a lot of people say no to God, say no to church. They say yes to the things that take them away from the church, take them away from God. And I just want to say, choose very carefully. The yeses and nos in your life, they will define your life. And they'll also define your eternity. You got to get that stuff right. So leaders pray it over. They think it through. They plan. They give it away. They build it up. They learn to say no. And then the last one, they learn to tune out the opposition. Just tune it out. This is the last leadership principle. There is no opportunity without opposition. Think about that. There's no opportunity without opposition. Period. Now, there are a couple ways you can live without opposition, without criticism. You want to hear it? Do nothing, say nothing. That simple. Anytime God gives you a vision for a better marriage, a better family, better way to work, whatever, there are vision vandals that will hit the scene. Wherever God gives vision, they move in. You show me a person with a vision. You show me a person with a vision for their family. You show me a church that has vision, and I will show you people that will attack that vision. If God gives you a special op, whatever it is, you need to expect there will be opposition. You need to prepare for battle. In fact, it may become a war before it's over. But it is important that you grasp that. In fact, so important, I'm just going to let it set today because I'm going to take all next week's message and talk about that topic. How do we deal with opposition? We're going to look at how Nehemiah dealt with it. I think we can learn a lot about that. When God ops come your way, bottom line, you got to be ready, and that means you got to do all the hard work. And when you do that, then you become very steady with your aim. You're ready for the moment now. But it's the prep, it's the prayer that gets you ready for the moment now. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. We'll pick this up next week. Our holy God, God, you have prepared a future for us. And God, I pray that whatever it is we're going through, that we'd realize you're preparing us. God, I pray that we would see the opportunities. There are so many around us. And God, some of those opportunities, they are specialized. They are just for us. God, I pray you would just heighten our sensitivity to your spirit, that when you call, Lord, that we'd answer that call of duty. And then we would pray about it, that we would prepare ourselves, that allow you to prepare us, to work in and through us. God, we would just do whatever it is you'd have us do. God, we thank you for Nehemiah. We thank you for just his heart. God, I pray that we would have that same kind of heart. Wherever you send us, wherever it is you want us to go, that we'd just take that step. God, we just lean on you. We lean on your strength. We lean on your power, your wisdom. In your time, God, we just give you the glory and praise this day. God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.